Are you ready? Are you ready to take massive action towards building a life and lifestyle that rewards you with a fit body, endless supplies of mental and physical energy, and total freedom from guilt around food and exercise? This is Cut the Fat Podcast.
Welcome, welcome. You found another episode of Cut the Fat Podcast. I am Blythe Albert, joined here in the virtual studio with Dr. Raymond Heinisch. Hey, Ray.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Woo! Excited to have another podcast coming everybody's direction.
And today's podcast is it's all about habits. And specifically, we're going to, you know, we've talked about habits in the past, right, Blythe?
Yes.
We're going to talk about the first component of the habit loop, right? Just focusing on that aspect of it. So if you guys recall from previous podcasts, the habit loop is the, I don't know if it's kind of the triangle or the loop that happens in our daily life where it starts with the trigger, which is the thing that kind of begins the process of the habit firing. And then you have the habit, which is the behavior. And then you have the reward. And then this cycle just happens throughout our lives. And if you have a bunch of good habits set up within your brain, then you end up with good outcomes. If you have a bunch of bad habits set up within your brain, you end up with bad outcomes. So today we're going to talk about the trigger, the first step in that habit loop, right?
Right, right. So we can create some great habit loops here and people can utilize that in their lives and focus on something that's just going to enhance their lives.
And I should point out that within that habit loop, we almost always focus on the habit or the behavior itself. Like, for example, if somebody wants to quit smoking, they oftentimes focus on the smoking and forget about the other two components of it, meaning the reward that you get from that and the trigger that begins this loop within your life. So the reason this trigger is so important to the process is because once you trigger that trigger, once you activate that trigger, you have to close the loop in some fashion. Otherwise, you have a craving that develops. And that craving needs to complete to the reward. Otherwise, you go crazy.
Right. And then you're like on the unbeaten path. Right. So you're kind of out in the wilderness, kind of floundering around.
There's discomfort. So think of it this way. And this is really what ultimately determines whether or not something is a habit, okay? It is if you trigger or you activate the trigger and there is discomfort in your brain, in your body, like there is a need that is unmet. That's how you know you've kind of started a habit. And unless you close that loop down, then you're going to live in discomfort. So the person who tries to quit smoking by focusing on the smoking will have this deep needed craving to smoke.
Right. It's kind of like it's the same thing with let's talk about sugar addiction. You know, you tell yourself, well, I can't have cake. I can't have donuts. I can't. And because you're telling yourself that you can't do this, you want nothing more than to do it. So we've got to find a way to satiate that or to get out of that negative habit loop. And that's by creating some positive triggers in your life. And I've got a bunch of examples written down today.
All right, great. So why don't you first start by telling us exactly how you would define a trigger?
Okay. So I would define a trigger by describing it as a bad or unhealthy behavior. So it's just a behavior, but usually when we say trigger, smelling the donut shop when I walk past triggers me to crave the donuts, right? So it's usually used in a negative context.
Right. If let's say you're aiming down the barrel of a gun at a target. So the trigger is the trigger. It's the thing that you kind of pull. Once you pull that trigger, then the behavior would be the bullet exiting the gun and heading towards the target. And
the action.
Once you hit the target, that's the reward. So it is the very thing that begins the process. That's the key factor here. The very thing that begins the behavior. So let's go back to a food example. So you talked about, you know, when you're walking down the street and you smell the donut shop that you pass every day on your way to work. Yeah, you're trying to do a healthy thing, right? You're trying to get some exercise and walk to work instead of ride a car or a bus.
Right.
And on your way there, you're getting hit with this odor of or the scent of donuts. And so you find yourself kind of mindlessly walking into the donut shop, grabbing a donut and heading on out back to work. So, and as you're biting into that soft, warm donut, you're getting the reward of the sensation of, you know, all those neurons in your brain firing in the reward center that make you feel great. And so that's the reward. Habit loop is now closed and you can go about your day, right?
But how do you feel about that is what we're going to be talking about. So what is something you could do to change that particular habit? If you end up feeling bad about it after the fact, what are you going to do about it? And I have a suggestion.
Okay,
take good. A different route. Take a different route to work. I mean, sometimes the solutions are so simple when it comes to changing a habit or a behavior or even avoiding a trigger. If we're going to say trigger is a donut shop, if we're going to avoid the donut shop, how are we going to get there? You don't have to drive to work. You don't have to not bike to work. I mean, you can still walk. You just need to maybe go an extra block, which in turn will be better for you because you're getting just a little more exercise. You're changing your path to get to work.
Same thing if you're driving home from work and you pass the same restaurant that you love every day. Then right. That's a good example as well. You don't have to be walking. You could be driving. And you pass by, let's say, the big golden arches of McDonald's. And you just find yourself mindlessly drawing the car into the
driveway. Yeah.
And so, you know, maybe you have to take a different path. So that's kind of the key here is you can either avoid the trigger altogether. And if we go back to the smoking example, you know, oftentimes people find that they smoke at certain times of the day. Or, you know, for me, 2 p.m. rolls around and I almost always get a craving for coffee because that's what I've trained my body to do is I 2 p.m. I drive over and grab a cup of coffee and drive back and sip on that coffee as I return my phone calls. So it is that time. It is that time period that my body has become adapted to. When 2 p.m. strikes, that's the trigger. The behavior is go get coffee. And the reward is sipping on that coffee as I'm returning phone calls. So, you know, what could I do in that circumstance? Well, in circumstances like that, where it's a time period, you know, we have this with breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And we can actually utilize that in a positive format. And we'll talk about that a little bit later when we start talking about positive habits. Right now, we're kind of talking about triggers to negative habits, right? To bad habits.
Right, right.
And we can utilize this same habit loop for good habits as well. But, you know, when you have a kind of like a it's not like a physical trigger and it's like a temporal trigger where like 2 p.m., bam, I want something. What do you do in circumstances like that is the question.
Well, I would suggest that it depends on what your goal is. Do you want to get away from coffee at 2 p.m. altogether or is it you don't like that you're going and purchasing coffee. Maybe you want to save the money and stick it in a jar towards saving for a vacation or something. Depends on what your goal is. If your goal is saving the money, then, well, you could bring your own coffee pot to work and brew your own. At 2 o'clock, you get the satisfaction of pushing that button and brewing your own coffee. If it's staying away from that, then maybe you end up replacing it with going for a walk at the park or going and getting a decaf coffee and slowly weaning yourself off of the caffeine and then taking, you know, doing it by stages.
Right. And you know, you hit on something previously, and that is it's oftentimes the feeling that we're after. So in order for this all to work, you know, if we're talking about replacing a behavior to a trigger, like the trigger being 2 p.m. and the behavior going to buy coffee, you've got to get a similar, an equal or greater feeling benefit from the behavior that you replace it with. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So it's kind of like a lateral shift, you know, if with food, and we've talked about that before, you know, if you like chocolate milkshakes, you know, if you can make your own chocolate milkshake at home and still get the flavor of a chocolate milkshake, but throw a scoop of protein powder in there and make it a protein shake at home, that's a great lateral shift. So you're still getting the same feeling, you're still going through the same process, but what you get in return is healthier for you and probably moving you toward your goal.
Right. And so let's not forget what a habit truly means. A habit really means that it's easier to do it than not to do it.
Yes.
And so, and that's such an important thing to remember, because as long as something is harder to do than not do, it is not a habit. That's why a lot of people have difficulty making exercise a habit, because oftentimes it is harder to do the exercise than to not do the exercise.
Right.
And it takes, you know, the only time people really successfully make that transition to turning exercise into a habit is when, you know, one of a few things potentially occur. Number one, they find some sort of physical activity that they truly love. You know, like for me, it's Gracie Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I truly love to do Jiu-Jitsu. So it's harder for me not to go to Jiu-Jitsu class than it is for me to go. I literally
because you
feel
so look
the craving.
Forward to it.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
So
okay.
when people
okay.
do that, when they find that physical activity, you know, a lot of people are very successful with like CrossFit because they love going to CrossFit. They walk in those doors and they've got a group of peers all around them that are supporting them. It's just a fun place to go. You go, you work out hard, you feel good about the exercise that you do, and then you go home feeling great. So it's easier for them to go to something like CrossFit than not to. For others, CrossFit would be pure hell. Right.
And so depends on the person.
It depends on the person. So they will never be able to make that a true habit because it'll always be more difficult. So if we're talking about trigger behavior reward, if you can find a behavior that is easier for you to do than not do, then you successfully, it'll be much, much easier for you to make that a habit. And we're kind of getting into a discussion of the whole habit loop, which I guess is you have to kind of do that in order to truly grasp the concept of triggers, but it's, you just got to realize that in any place on that habit loop, you have the ability to impact it.
Right. And, you know, there are certain things you can do. Now, you know, I was going to give a bunch of examples of things you could do if it's hard for you to get up in the morning and work out, but you know you want to really, really develop a new habit. Or maybe you know that you need to drink more water and, you know, you just keep forgetting it for whatever reason. You know, it's easier to sit and stay at your desk and finish that email than it is to get up and go get yourself a glass of water. So I came up with a few suggestions for people who want to make or develop, people who really are working on developing a new habit. It's something they really are determined and destined to do, but for whatever reason, there's some little roadblock getting in their way. There are lots of things you can do. You know, if you find that you really, really want to get up every single morning, and you know what made me think about this real quick? I'm going to rewind. The new coaching club that we're coming up with, I had filled out my little diary and talked about what I wanted my goals to be. And it was, you know, to do something for 15 minutes every day on top of what I already do. And that is just walking. I find that walking or even, you know, jogging and then walking clears my head and gets me kind of fired up for the day. So that's what I wanted to do. So I was thinking to myself, how could I make sure that this happens every single day? You know what I do? I put my running shoes right next to the bed. So when I get out of bed, it's like, oh yeah, that's right. I get out of bed on the same side every morning. I can put two pairs of shoes. I can put three pairs of shoes there. So if I miss the first pair, I trip over the second pair. Things that I can do to remind myself that this is something that I really, really want. And stepping over the shoes creates a small obstacle. So creating that obstacle for myself, I'm like, okay, you know what? That's right. This is what I want to do. Putting my clothes right there, everything, making it so easy that it's harder for me to say no than it is to just go through with what I know I want to achieve.
Right. And, you know, I wanted to start this podcast with and I was thinking, wouldn't it be fun if we started the podcast each time with just a fun, simple weight loss trick or hack? And
yeah.
And I was going to do that today, but we jumped right into the topic. So I was never able to do that. And just this idea of getting, you know, 15 minutes more on top of what you already do just kind of reminded me of it. And so today's fun, simple weight loss hack was studies that show that people who wear denim to work walk a quarter of a mile more throughout the day than their formally dressed coworkers.
Really?
Isn't that cool? So, you know, these are like the equivalent of compound interest, right? Like if you've heard what compound interest is, where you know, if you were to take a penny and double it every day, after 19 days, you'd have like a gazillion dollars in the bank. It's like $19 million or something like that. And, you know, these kinds of things are, these small, simple hacks are things that have, that cause compound interest to develop. You don't feel it in the beginning. It's a small change that has small benefit. But over time, as you kind of make these small deposits, these small little shifts and tricks that you implement into your lifestyle, the benefits are huge further down the line. So that was just a cool little hack that you can implement with very little investment. Anyway, I digress.
That's fun. No, that's fun. Really cool. I love that. I think that's a fantastic idea. I'm totally into that. So another thing I do if I come up with ideas, especially during these 15-minute bouts of exercise that I'm introducing into my life and creating a new habit, is I text myself ideas. Or I know, don't you write stuff down on a notepad? You keep a notepad by you in the middle of the night. Was that you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you come up with these great ideas and it's not like a convenient time to write it down. So, well, I have voice to text, so I can either text myself messages by voice. I'm wearing my headphones anyway. Or I, you know, just type something quickly in my notes section to remind me of what I'm doing. I find that I become, and sometimes it's not just articles of something that I want to read or an idea that I came up with. Quite often it's things to add to my to-do list, which helps me become more organized for my day. You know, it's usually something, oh yeah, that's right, the kids have sports tryouts at 4 o'clock today. How am I going to get there? And then I have to like go through and organize my day. This becomes really, really helpful for me. And I find that it's a habit that I'm forming that keeps kind of giving back.
Right.
Yeah. And so it motivates me to continue doing it. This is another suggestion that I had, and I thought of a friend of mine who's a dentist. He's also a bodybuilder. Actually, he lives up there in Baltimore, Maryland. An older guy, he's in his 70s now, but he is a dentist. And as you know, dentists have exceptionally rigorous schedules. Well, he works, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning and usually doesn't get out till 6 or 7 o'clock at night, but he's a bodybuilder. He must eat, he must drink his water, and he does everything with an alarm. So at the top of every hour, you hear this beep, 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 beep. He sets a little alarm that sits in his room. He stops what he's doing and he chugs a bottle of water. That's how he gets his water in. He does the same thing with eating. And that might be a little intense for most people, but don't ever think that there is something that you can't do, because we can help create something to move you around the obstacle that is creating you to continue your bad habit loop.
Right. And you have to almost, no, not almost, you actually have to crowd out bad habits. You can't just expect them to dissipate and disappear. You got to crowd them out. You got to replace them with something else. And you know, that alarm trick is a very easy thing to implement, especially with, you know, smartwatches becoming so so enveloped into our day-to-day activity, right? Like I love my Apple Watch, and it has that ability to set automatic timers. In fact, it comes automatically where it sets out a reminder to do a 1 minute meditation, right? And so,
yeah,
and it keeps track of all that stuff. So it's a really cool way to do that. And they're only going to continue to develop exercise and fitness aspects into these smartwatches and smartphones and such, in such a way that's just going to make it hopefully much more easy to make these things habitual.
Right. You know, if you want to get better at stretching before you go to bed, maybe that's going to be a ritual for you, or even meditating just to kind of turn your mind off before you go to bed. Place a yoga mat on top of your pillow. So when you go to lay down, you're like, oh yeah, that's right, that's what I was gonna do. Put your toothbrush on top of it. I don't know, but something that you already have being a habit, place a simple reminder next to it.
Great.
Okay, so anchors. I wanted to talk about establishing anchors, and I don't know if I'm jumping too far ahead here, but an anchor is basically a neurological connection between something that stimulates you. Let's go back to the golden arches. You see the golden arches, so that's a stimulus, and then your emotional response to it. So developing an emotional response, you could either say, well, I see those golden arches, that's a cheap and crappy meal, or you could say, oh wow, there's the golden arches, That's a good value and a tasty meal. It depends on how you look at things. So establishing an anchor to reinforce your newly developed habit loop is kind of where I wanted people to put their focus on. Now, if you're not that far ahead, then we can work on the habit loop and avoiding the things that create triggers for you.
Right. Let me kind of give you an example of how an anchor can develop in someone, let's say a child. So it's not uncommon for parents, being a parent ourselves, we hate to see our kids in pain, right? When a kid falls and skins their knee and they're crying, a lot of parents will say, here, eat this cookie. It'll make you feel better. Mm-hmm. And so we start to anchor this emotion of feeling better to food.
Right.
And so that's kind of what an anchor really does. And we do this in all areas of our life, not just around body change, body transformation,
right,
and fitness and health, but we do it in all areas of our life. And so we've got to learn to make positive anchors to positive things rather than negative things to negative anchors. So when we're feeling stressed and the emotion of stress or if something happens, like we something happens at work, it triggers that flow, that emotional flow of that stressful emotion that then mm-hmm. causes us to seek out food. That's a good example of how anchors can connect to unhealthy lifestyles.
Right. And I think people just being aware of that will have an aha moment at some point in the future. Just planting that little seed and recognizing paying attention to what you're doing when you know that you're in a habit. And I have so many people tell me, oh, I was really stressed out today. I ate horrible. And I said, well, why did being stressed out have you eating horrible? And I don't say that because I really want to know. I'm just saying that because I want them to know. I want them to recognize what they're doing as a reaction to what they were experiencing.
Right. Great.
Okay. So anchoring is a feeling that's associated with a habit, right? So you can even talk about I've got a great one, and this is probably going to be hilarious to you, but I remember my first middle school dance, and I remember what song was playing, and the biggest crush of my life in seventh grade, his name was Adam. I don't know. Anyway, I remember oh my gosh, crossing my face, literally standing against the wall with my fingers crossed behind my back, thinking to myself, I hope he asked me to dance. I hope he asked me to dance. And he did. So I will never, ever, ever forget that song. Do you know what I mean? Every single time it comes on the radio, I'm 42 years old. This is over 30 years ago. I will never forget that song. So that is another example of an anchor. So they can be positive. I would like people to focus on creating positive outcomes to things that might be stressful or nerve-wracking or even healthy. So an anchor that you could develop would be, well, whenever I go to the gym, I smell the gym. Maybe your gym smells great. I don't know. Maybe the locker room just has a certain smell. I know we have lemongrass scent. Oh my gosh. I know we have lemongrass in the locker rooms. I work in kind of a boutique gym, and we have this lemongrass smell. Every time I smell lemongrass, I think work, which isn't a bad thing for me. I really, really enjoy what I do. So maybe you could attribute a smell to working out and then feeling great, because every time you leave the gym, you feel great. You might be exhausted, but you feel great because you worked out. You achieved something. You can give yourself a pat on the back and you actually feel good. So even a smell can bring out, something that you can remember, and that can become an anchor
and
in your life.
Smells actually anchor very, very tightly and very, very quickly. It's why, apple pie on Thanksgiving Day can bring back this flood of feelings. So we know that smells have a very, very strong connection to the areas of the brain that really anchor you to certain emotions. So, and I just want to point out that I have a very similar story to that. The girl in, it was elementary school, it was a dance, and the girl's name was Jennifer Murphy, and the song was Moni Moni by
Billy Idol.
Billy Idol, yes.
That's hilarious. My gosh, what great times. I'll never forget those.
Yep.
I remember the song, but I can't remember the name of it.
This would have been in the 80s, right?
Oh, it's the 80s. If you leave, don't look back. I'll be running the other way. Do you remember that
yes,
song?
Yes, yes, yes. I don't remember the name of it. But
neither
I do
I. It was, I think it was a one-hit wonder. But anyway.
I'm sure one of our listeners will let us know.
Yes, that would be awesome. So do you have any more suggestions or anything to go along with the topic?
Well, let's just kind of review everything because there was a lot in this episode. So a habit loop basically is a loop that happens when we trigger, where something triggers us to have a craving, and that craving forces us to have to produce a behavior, and that behavior leads to some sort of reward. Within that habit loop, we can impact pretty much any area of that. The trigger is oftentimes a very good place to start because it's something that we can oftentimes have control over. Sometimes we can't, like 2 p.m. in my coffee example, but oftentimes it is something like, for example, somebody who smokes every time somebody calls and wants to have a conversation with them on the phone. The call, the phone calls end up being the trigger. So I guess that's probably not a another example. That's probably more of an example that you can't control unless you decide you're just not going to answer the phone. you know, there are certain things that we can control, like the path that we take to work or to a certain area where we're being exposed to a restaurant that we love that draws us in every time. So the trigger's a very good place to start. You can impact it at the behavior as well, which is where most people begin. Probably not the best place to begin for a lot of different people. Usually we want to focus on the trigger or sometimes the reward. So when we're talking about a trigger is basically the thing that that causes the craving, the thing that triggers the craving that ultimately leads to the behavior. So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about a trigger. Blythe gave some really great examples and some simple things that you can do to either add positive triggers to your life, which was things like setting the alarm. What were some other ones, Blythe?
Tripping over the shoes, putting a yoga mat on your pillow.
Yes, great.
You know, if you want to watch less TV, and this sounds very elementary, but I've implemented this in my life, watching less TV, not because I watch TV, but my children like to watch TV in the evening. They get home from school. We do homework. We do sports. 8 o'clock at night, I'm like, TV goes off because you need to be in bed by 9 and we've got things to do before that. And I really like them to be able to shut their minds down and read or do something so they have a better sleep, because quite often I tuck them in at 9 o'clock and they come back up the stairs 30 minutes later. Hey, I can't sleep. And well, it's because they were playing video games in their bed and they can't turn their mind off.
Yeah.
So, you know, even something as simple as that.
I mean, you could also use every commercial as an opportunity, as a trigger for some sort of activity or exercise, right?
Right. Yeah. Cool. Good idea. You could do sit-ups or push-ups or, awesome.
And what else did I miss? Well, what other things did we cover? I mean, we covered a bunch of stuff. Anchors.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I talked about anchors and associating a feeling with a habit. So instead of creating a bad feeling, we'd like to develop some things that are good, something you can feel positive about that can become a new anchor to replace an old habit or bad behavior. For instance,
like walking in place of going to the snack bin. If you can go for a walk and you can feel really good about that walk, and you can, and it can give you the sensation of, man, this feels great. And you have that kind of self-talk while you're doing it as well. So let's say you're normally normally 2 p.m. rolls around, you go to the vending machine. Instead, you may go for a quick 5-minute walk and outside and breathe fresh air and self-talk yourself into, wow, this is great. Wow, I love the fact that I chose to do something different, and really drive up those those emotions around that positive thing.
Right. Love it. I love it.
Anything else?
That's about all I have for now on that particular topic. I can easily go off on a tangent on something else, but I think I'll save that for another podcast.
Okay, sounds good to me. All right, well, awesome. give them the end spiel.
Hey guys, find us on Twitter. It's at CTF Podcast. You can also find us on Facebook. I would really love for any of you who have habits or triggers that you can't figure out what else to do, or you can't think of something laterally to do instead to replace a bad habit, post it up on Facebook. Ask a question, or you can even send us a message. I'm pretty good at getting back to people right away. Our Facebook page is Cut the Fat Podcast. And what else do we have?
Oh, and one other thing before we let you go. There's, you know, you guys noticed that there's a commercial that runs prior to the podcast. Some people have complained about, like, I think somebody said that there was like a Domino's pizza ad or something. Another one was like Hannity, you know.
I read that.
And unfortunately, those things are out of our control. Those are not ads that we run ourselves, that people pay us to run. It's the Blog Talk Radio system that we use to host our podcast. They require an ad run prior to the podcast itself. So those, we do not endorse those things. Specifically
promote
choose
or select them.
Yes, right. the ads that run prior to the podcast. So I apologize right. for any pizza ads or anything that runs out.
And unfortunately, there are lots of ads about food out there. So
I
that's
know.
Kind of beyond our control.
It is for now.
If you guys have not yet rated us on iTunes, we go through and read all of our iTunes suggestions and ratings. That would be fantastic. You can rate us with the 5 stars if you think we're deserving. And check out our website, www.cutthefatpodcast.com. You can sign up for our new Cut the Fat Coaching Club, which is coming up soon. We've got some fun and exciting stuff in the works. Right, Ray?
That's right. And and speaking of the ratings, I wanted to read before I let you guys go for the day, we had a recent rating by Lauren. It was a 5-star rating, which is awesome. Thank you, Lauren. And I love you know, this, the title was yes with !! She says, I'm a personal trainer, a fitness nutrition specialist, and a running coach. There's so much information out there. This is some of the best. I listen while I walk, and yesterday I found myself literally cheering, arms in the air, at the excellent advice given here. Sound advice, stuff that works in real life, no gimmicks or magic pills, solid health and fitness guidance. Exactly what I try to do in my practice. Is not always an easy sell. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about briefly. A lot of people would rather have a pill or a potion. Thanks for sharing your wisdom in such a fun and easily digestible format. And I just wanted to say, you know, the reason that I wanted to bring that one up is because it's not really an easy sell to tell people they've got to do the hard stuff. They've got to do the hard work, right?
Right. Yeah, it's that simple. It's that simple, and it's that difficult, all in the same sentence.
That's right. But anyway, thanks. We read these ratings all the time, and we really do thank you guys for all of your support as well.
And that's an awesome endorsement. Thank you, Lauren.
All right. We'll see you guys next time here on Cut the Fat Podcast.
See ya.